Chapter 15. The bedroom door clicked shut, and our lips met instinctively. Mahini met my kiss with passion and a wild abandon I wasn't used to from her, but the normally reserved and stoic warrior woman was really letting her fire burn that night. I grabbed her around the waist and pulled her against me, and her enlarged pregnancy breasts pushed against my chest. Her breath caught in her throat, but I swallowed the moan that soon escaped her lips. I want to taste you, I said as I led her toward the bed. I want to taste every inch of you before I go off to deal with that sorcerer fuck once and for all.
Okay.
Mahini breathed, but her ice blue eyes were already half-lidded and full of desire. I pushed her back onto the bed and began to remove every article of her clothing, and the desert goddess quickly shrugged off her remaining layers. Then her tanned and toned body was exposed to my sight, and I drank her in like a dehydrated man lost in the desert. Once Mahini was fully nude, I began to tear off my clothes and tossed them to the side. But once I was naked myself, I stretched out across the mattress beside her. I wanted to take my time. I kissed her passionately, but then the embrace turned sweet and soft, so I trailed my lips across her jaw and neck until her breathing grew rapid. Then I drifted slowly southward until I flicked my tongue against her perky nipple, and Mahini gasped with pleasure. Do you like that? I asked as I circled the hardened bud with my lips.
Yes.
Mahini wiggled against me, but I held her down with one hand while I continued my ministrations on her nipples with my mouth. I want to make you go wild for me.
I'm always wild with desire for you, Bash.
Mahini tried to argue, but I cut off her words with another kiss. My tongue delved deeper and deeper into her mouth until both our tongues danced like the familiar lovers we were. But I swallowed every moan that escaped her lips. She was like a drug to me, and I couldn't get enough of her. Body, mind, and soul. Mahini was mine. I went further and further south, and I left a wet trail of kisses and licks across her growing belly. But then I spread open her thighs to give me full access to her well of pleasure.
Oh, Bash, I've missed you so much lately.
Mahini gasped as I lowered my lips to her crevice.
Thank you for giving me some time with you tonight.
I'll give you whatever you want, I promised. But then I dipped my tongue against her, and her hips bucked upward toward my face of their own volition.
All I want is you.
She breathed, and she looked down at me from beneath lust-hooded eyes.
Always and forever.
Reminds me of our wedding vows. I chuckled. And then I went to town on her pussy, and I sucked and licked her until her hips were gyrating like a blender. I lapped up her juices and inhaled her aroma like I'd never experienced it before in my life. But with the changes her body was going through, every time I was with her, it felt like the first time all over again. Once the pressure had built up to an unbearable level, I brought Mahini over the edge to a river of bliss, and her juices flowed freely as she thrashed through her orgasm.
Oh, Bash!
Mahini whimpered as the convulsions seized her, but I merely continued to lick against her note of pleasure. Another wave of pleasure shook her to the core, and she pulled me away.
I need to breathe.
Mahini laughed and shook her head.
Oh, you certainly do drive me wild with desire, Bash. Oh, I want you so bad now.
How bad? I arched an eyebrow in a teasing manner. A devilish glint lit up Mahini's ice-blue eyes, and I suddenly found myself staring at the ceiling from the flat on my back. The desert goddess straddled me, and she lowered herself onto my throbbing member like a soldier sheathing his sword after a battle. Ooh, fuck. Mahini, I hissed as the sensations washed over me.
You like that?
Mahini's hair fell across her face as she leaned over me. But I had a perfect view of her massive breasts as they swung in front of my face. I captured one in my fist and the other in my teeth, and I suckled on her nipples as she ground herself against me. I could feel my loins tingling already, but I wasn't ready to let go just yet. so I reminded myself to have patience.
Yes, yes, oh, yes.
Mahini bounced up and down with more and more force, but she seemed to be enjoying herself. Her nails dug into the flesh of my torso as she held on for dear life, but her hips twisted and turned like a cement mixer. Come on me, babe, I commanded in a husky voice full of desire. I want to feel you climax on my dick, Mahini.
Okay.
My wife closed her eyes and her eyebrows knitted together in a look that seemed like a perfect mixture of pleasure and pain. Then she ground her hips against mine until my cock rubbed against the opening to her womb. I had a brief thought of the baby growing on the other side before Mahini climaxed hard, but my mind was brought firmly back to the present as she shivered with delight on top of me. I gripped her ass cheeks in both hands to hold her tightly against me, and she arched her back as she leaned into the pleasurable sensations.
Oh, that was amazing.
Mahini shook her head in awe as she leaned down to rest herself against my chest. But I was far from being done with her. We're just getting started, my love. I murmured in her ear as I rubbed my hands down her spine. Once Mahini's breathing went back to normal again, I rolled her onto her side and thrust into her from a different angle. Her leg was cocked up in the air, and I supported it in one hand as I stroked my cock in and out of her slippery wet tunnel. I built up the pressure, tension, and speed bit by bit, but when she started gasping with each thrust, I knew she was ready. So I let go and released my river of seed into her waiting entrance. Oh, fuck! I groaned as my balls twitched with delight. Then I rolled her over even more, and I entered her from behind as she pushed her hips backward to meet me. Doggy style was followed by reverse cowgirl, and then we segued into missionary before I came again. I exploded inside her three times before I collapsed against her chest in sheer exhaustion. But Mahini stroked my hair absently as we both slowly returned to reality. Now, I said with a pleased smirk, now that was amazing.
It truly was.
Mahini breathed, but then she released a contented sigh.
There's nothing else I would rather do tonight.
Same. Oh, I've missed you more than I thought was possible.
I'm here whenever you need me. Now finish your desert quest so you can come home for good.
Yes, ma'am. I chuckled. I blipped back to the desert before I fell asleep, but it was nice to crawl into bed beside Eva, Zenda, and Kalia. The three beauties slept peacefully, but they all moved to snuggle closer against me when I slid into the sleeping rolls. I was one lucky god. I made a new save point before I fell into a deep sleep, but it was early the next morning when my eyes popped open once more. Nameless woke me up with a loud squawk, so I quickly got him some food to distract him before I went about my day. There was still lots to be done before I could take the fight to the sorcerer's lair, but at least I knew where it was now. I would gather my army and march on his fortress, kill the bastard responsible for the monster attacks, and free anyone imprisoned there. The Vex had been carrying people off, but there was no way of knowing if any of them were even still alive, so I only had my undying hope to go off of. Jorgen, Corvus, I greeted in a friendly tone as I crossed the distance to my platoon leaders. We are in for a busy day today.
What can we help you with, sir?
Jorgen frowned.
Is everything all right?
Yeah, everything's fine. We've finally located the sorcerer's lair, so we need to gather the entire army before we can make a head-on attack.
You wish to ride up to the gates?
Corvus asked in a skeptical tone.
Sounds like suicide. It has to be impossible.
Nothing is impossible for the God of Time. As long as you follow my commands, no harm will be done.
Huh? I trust you, sir.
We both do.
Good. I grinned. Now, I'll need you to send runners to the plateau to retrieve the soldiers for me. Once my entire army is assembled, we will attack the fortress with everything we've got.
Where is you, sir?
Jorgen said.
You can count on us,
Corvus continued. The two men rushed off to follow my commands, and I was confident they would follow them to the letter. A nearby warrior overheard my exchange of words with Jorgen and Corvus, and he bobbed his head in greeting as he crossed the distance to me.
"You're looking for war after speaking for peace, Great One?"
the man asked in a suspicious tone, so he must have known a little of the Sorialian tongue. "Well, I've already formed peace between the tribes. Now I'm hunting down the sorcerer responsible for all the recent monsters. Your kinsmen will be safe from beasts once more, but first, I have to fight my way inside the enemy's lair, a task much better suited for an army."
"Allow me to join your forces. I could be a real asset in your battle against this evil man."
A crowd began to form around me, and I realized word had traveled fast. There were more than a few familiar faces among the strangers staring back at me, but it was clear they expected a speech of some kind.
"Any and all are welcome to follow me," I said, but then I raised my voice so everyone could hear me. "I seek the man who has sent sandworms after your villages, Naga after your warriors, and the Vex after your kinsmen. This man has done nothing but cause strife and heartache for the people of the desert, and I aim to put an end to his evil ways, even if it means killing him."
I had all eyes locked on me, but silence echoed my words, so I decided to keep going.
"There's a chance that once the sorcerer who summoned the monsters has died, then all the beasts will die as well."
These words were met with small gasps of surprise. Apparently people liked that idea.
"I know all the magic I need to be able to duel with the master. This man will fall before me, and I will put a stop to the monster plague once and for all."
"I will follow you,"
Mekino announced as he bowed before me.
"My sword is yours."
"My blade is yours to wield, Bash,"
Akina swore.
"Let me help you with the fight."
"Your word is my command, sir,"
Trava the scout said as he followed the Kanwakian's movements. More and more people swore their fealty to me personally, and soon dozens of more warriors were added to my growing army. As with all of my followers, I would make sure their every need was met in exchange for their undying loyalty. The God of Time expected no less. My army was gathered together in a few days, and then we marched on the sorcerer's lair. It would take us at least a week to reach it, but I had a destination at last, so nothing would dampen my spirits.
"Hunt!"
Nameless spoke through our telepathic link, and he paired the thought with an image of the Vex he loved eating so much. The little dragon's excitement was palpable, and I gave him the go-ahead to hunt down his yummy treats. The lizard-like creature flew overhead with gusto and wild abandon, but he quickly disappeared behind the clouds over my head. I wasn't worried about losing him anymore, though, since the mark on the map was guiding me across the desert. I would make it to the sorcerer's lair, and I would challenge him to a duel. That much I knew. We settled into a bit of a routine while we traveled, and I got to know the warriors who'd joined my cause. There were some good men and women among my forces, and I spammed respawns until I'd learned all their names. I made it back to Bastionville each night, as I'd promised, and Mahini's belly grew larger with each passing day. Eva and Kalia had also begun to show ever so slightly, but it was all the confirmation we needed that they were also carrying my children.
"Good night, my loves,"
I said as I kissed the three beauties on their foreheads. Serena had gotten to where she wrinkled her nose in an adorable fashion every time she received one of her father's kisses, but this merely made me want to kiss her more. The little red-haired baby was so chubby there were rolls on her thighs and elbows, but I knew they were signs of a healthy baby. Then I would blip back to the desert to sleep beside my three lovely companions, and it never escaped my mind how lucky I was to have all five of my women. What other man could say he had as good of a life as me? Once I ended the monster problem, opened and explored the catacombs, and found out more about the god of the plague, I would be even happier. But there'd be plenty of time for that after we reached the sorcerer's lair. Days passed without event or incident, but I reminded my followers not to be lulled into a false sense of security. Monsters could still attack us at any moment, and it seemed it always happened when my guard was down. That wasn't going to happen anymore. I made a new save point each morning as I woke, but I didn't have to use it for days upon days. I trained with the warriors of the various tribes following me each afternoon when we stopped the procession for the night, and they were soon copying my every move. Well, the moves they could copy.
How did you make a blade from water?
Mikino questioned for what felt like the millionth time.
I've never seen that before.
As I've said, I mixed the movements for the summoned blade with my water spell word of power. It's all part of being a god, so I wouldn't be too upset with yourself if you can't master the technique. The Kanwakian warrior frowned in puzzlement, but he didn't question me any further. I knew he was envious of my magical summoned water blades, but I kind of liked keeping some skills just for myself. I had a feeling it wouldn't be the last I heard of it, though, so I might as well prepare for that. Suddenly, Nameless swooped out of the sky with an excited chirp, and his thoughts were jumbled as he tried to send them through our telepathic connection. I saw a creature straight out of a child's drawings, or nightmares, but either way it didn't look good. Looks like I was about to have another fight on my hands. I reset to my save point from earlier in the morning, but I didn't really need anything other than a little bit more time. With the bonfires of our campsite still burning, I sent out scouts to patrol the area where Nameless had seen the monster. The reports I received were vague, confusing, and full of terror from the scouts, but they painted a ghastly picture once I pieced them all together. The monster coming for us was a cyclops. I gritted my teeth as I rode forward across the desert sands, and we crested a dune as Nameless once more gave out his cry of alarm. "Stay out of sight," I instructed the little dragon out loud, but I sent a wave of my willpower through the bond between us to emphasize my command. Nameless hadn't threatened my control again, but there was no telling when he would try to disobey me, so I wanted to stay on top of it. Nameless screeched out an argument, but he did as I told him to. Then I rode at the front of the procession with my eyes peeled for any signs of the Cyclops monster. My stomach turned when it finally came into sight, and I had to swallow down the lump that rose in my throat. The creature looked slightly humanoid with its bipedal legs, but that was where the similarities ended. The 10-foot-tall monster had four arms jutting out from its massive torso, and there was no head to speak of. But in the very center of its chest was one single gigantic eyeball. The eyeball blinked and twitched as it scanned the sands, and I called for a halt of the procession as it drew closer.
"Steady!"
I said in a loud, clear voice for my entire procession to hear. "I'll face the beast alone!" I drew my panabas, made a new save point, and then nudged Goliath's flanks to urge him forward. The white stallion reared before he kicked up sand in his wake, and an instant later, the wind was blowing against my face. My army stayed behind as I rode into battle, but I crossed the distance to the monster in a few short breaths. I swung my blades as I passed by the beast, and it swung one of the clubs it grasped in its four arms in my direction. The blunt weapon smacked into my torso and knocked me off Goliath's back, and I spat out sand as I rolled to my feet. Goliath galloped away in a broad circle, but I kept my eyes locked on the Cyclops monster. The monster roared from a small mouth situated below its massive eyeball, and the motion revealed a crooked set of broken teeth.
"Come at me, you ugly fucker," I growled as I twirled my panabas in a figure eight, but then we both charged forward.
The monster stooped over me, and it swung one of its four clubs at my head, but I rolled out of the way at the last possible moment. I tumbled between its legs and came out behind the beast, But then I swiveled and jabbed my blades into the beast's lower back. The creature howled in pain, and my blades were wrenched from my grasp as he swung his arms around wildly. But one of its blunt clubs knocked the air from my lungs as it collided with my chest. My dragon scale armor blocked the majority of the impact, so I didn't think I'd broken anything. But I wasn't used to getting hit. No, I was ready to start over.
Ding!
I charged forward on Goliath once more, and the Cyclops grew ever larger in my vision as I crossed the sands toward it. I swiped at one of the monster's swinging arms with my blades as I passed by the beast, and I managed to keep my seat on Goliath's back. Blood sprayed in my wake, so I knew the creature wasn't impervious to the metal, but it would take a lot more than one hit to take the bastard down. I circled around to come at the Cyclops again, but this time it was ready for me, and I was met with a swinging club aimed at my head. I barely managed to duck below the blow, and the wind swept against the nape of my neck as I leaned forward.
"All right, you ugly piece of shit," I said as I circled around the monster again. "Time to end this!"
Goliath stomped his hooves as we prepared to charge again, but this time I gave the war stallion looser reins to allow for easier movement. Goliath knew what to do, and I guided him back to the monster with my legs. I ran past the monster again and again, but each time I managed to nick one of its arms or its torso. Blood dripped down its pale-skinned body, and it was moving slower than it had in the beginning, so I had a feeling I was starting to wear it down. All I needed to do was deliver a killing blow. I clucked my tongue to urge Goliath onward, even faster, and sand sprayed in our wake as he ran across the sand. The Cyclops barreled toward us at full speed, and the monster swung his club at the same moment I swung my panabas. I managed to block the blow of its weapon with my blade, but the sheer weight of the wooden club forced me from Goliath's back. I hit the sand hard, but I rolled with the motion and came up on my feet. This fucker was starting to piss me off.
Ding!
I decided to try something different this time, and I dismounted Goliath before I crossed the distance to the Cyclops monster. Couldn't knock me off my horse if I wasn't riding one, after all. The Cyclops roared a challenge when he spotted me with his massive single eyeball, and I gritted my teeth as I prepared for the fight ahead. I was ready to kill this thing and be done with it, but I had to admit, the beast was proving to be quite the challenge. Then I ran forward with a cry of rage of my own, and I swung my blades in a figure eight as I approached the beast. Its howl of rage overshadowed my voice, and the sound rang in my ears, but I shoved my panabas into the gap-toothed maw below its eye, and then I twisted the handle. A gurgling sound escaped the monster's gullet, and he swung his arms wildly in an attempt to knock me back, but I was within the reach of the monster's arms. I used my other panabas to block some of the blows of the beast's clubs, but they still pummeled against my back and spine. I gave the handle of my panabas another twist before I wrenched it free, but I stumbled backward from the sudden release of tension. Blood poured from the monster's mouth, and its growl was full of pain and rage as he sprayed bloody spittle all over my helmet.
Ugh, gross!
I hissed as I backpedaled away from the beast.
Say it, don't spray it, dude.
Was the gurgled response. The beast was badly injured, but he was far from dead. I still had work to do. I circled around the beast outside the reach of its four massive arms, and I dodged to the side as the creature lunged toward me. Then it swung its four clubs in a wide arc, and I narrowly avoided being smashed straight in the head. The tip of the club pounded into the sand, and dust sprayed up like a bomb had gone off. But I took the opportunity to rush inside the creature's reach to stab both my blades straight into its massive eyeball. I twisted both blades, and a yellowish goo oozed from the wound before the creature stumbled backward. The Cyclops let out a pained cry before it toppled onto its back, but it didn't move again. I'd won.